Australia. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia's Friday. Friday, am I right? 2GIF. October 2nd, and I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios. Look, I vacuumed. Old mate's still got crap everywhere, but it's not too bad at the moment. I've got cutout deli over my shoulder. We're all good. Anyway, I'm here letting you know who's doing what, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA Orlando bubble. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while ripping Australia a bit. That's what we do. It is the playoffs. It's day 46, I guess, of the playoffs, but it doesn't matter. Doc Rivers has got a new gig. Oh, neat. And it's not exactly where we predicted, but there you go. That's all right. And we're going to preview tomorrow's game two of the NBA Finals for you today. Nice. We've got Yeah Nahs. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. We've got Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take, as well as a, because it's Friday, a dickhead of the week, which is nice and pretty easy, you know, judging from some comments from a certain NBA player today. Pretty handy. But yeah, quick show, fun show. We're going to finish with five best bets for tomorrow's game and a pick and preview for it, which will be brought to you by playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Go there for all your sweet NBA betting needs. And we'll close out with a brand new diary of Stephen Adams. How good is that? All right, fun show. Let's get to it. NBA Show episode 494. Let's go. The worst of this.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. You better watch out for the Doc block. If you're Mike D'Antoni, Doc Rivers just out there Doc blocking Mike D'Antoni from the Sixers gig, eh? Yeah. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. Whip. Whip. There you go. Doc Rivers. That's right. He's off to Philly to go coach Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid. On a five-year deal. Sure. Do you reckon he'll last that? There's a good question. But this is going to be interesting, isn't it? Can't wait to find out what's going to happen. We've got the City of Brotherly Love welcoming Doc Rivers, according to Joel Embiid, which is nice. He's excited for the future, what they're going to build there. But really, I mean, this is a huge, big question mark. Can Doc get through to Simo and Embiid? Can he put this roster together in a way that works and gets past the second round, which would be the first time for Doc in a while, as well as the Sixers? I mean, we've got Tobias Harris as well. Don't forget, there in Sixer land. He had his best year under Doc as well when they were both in Clippers gear. There you go. He's a strong voice.
I don't know what you got to say, but goddamn it, Joel.
It's going to be a lot of that. The thing is, strong voice, but does it work? Because, I mean, I feel like we've got this idea of Doc Rivers, right? Where he forms an identity around a team. You had the Ubuntu Celtics and whatnot, and they played their asses off. But at the same time, that team had a unimpeachable leader in KG and an unimpeachable Celtic legend already in Paul Pierce in place. And, I mean, so we've got an identity there, and then he had an identity in Clipperland with the Lob City Clippers, but at the same time, it seems to be a bit of a struggle in terms of cohesiveness when it comes to the identity, right? We've seen Blake Griffin and Chris Paul clash underneath him. Paul George and Kawhi very clearly did not reach their potential this year, and there was no point during the entire season for the Clippers where you're like, aha, they've put it together, here they come. It never happened. So I guess the question is, can he do it with Joel Embiid and Big Simo Ben Simmons? Two very unique individuals as well. You know, it's a huge question, and I can't wait to find out, because it could work. It could also go horribly, because just think about it. The Sixers fans are just sitting there going, but, I mean, we just had a coach who never made the right adjustments during the playoffs and never got past the second round. I've seen this movie before. It was with Brett Brown. I mean, it is weird, because Doc Rivers, in this entire Clipper sort of stint that he had, he won literally one more playoff series than Brett Brown did with the Sixers. So three versus two, which is pretty strange. But look, this is the idea. This is the, I think Magic Johnson's out there going, hey, man, Doc's out there. He's got his Magic, Ben Simmons. He's got his Kareem and Joel Embiid. Let's see how we go. Interestingly enough, within hours of Doc Rivers being available, apparently, there's a report now that Josh Harris sent a plane to go interview him. They went after him immediately, and apparently the players wanted him to be their coach. So, with all those questions I've already thrown out, with all the question marks about, you know, the fact that he never got to the Western Conference Finals with the Clippers, despite having two wildly, wildly talented teams in different eras. Look, if the players want him there, and if they're going to respond to him, and the Sixers brass are just like, that's our fucking guy, then good. Just fucking put all your efforts into making sure this works. If he's your guy, get him, make it work. See how you go. But there you go. Another interesting addition is that Elvin Gentry, former Pelicans coach, don't be a Pelican, be a Pelican. Elvin Gentry out there possibly joining forces with Doc Rivers, which is pretty cool. I feel like Elvin Gentry is like one of the all-time great assistant coaches, and every time you get a head coaching gig, he's a little bit out of his depth. And they are also about to hire Mike D'Antoni, so why not just hire Mike D'Antoni Light as your lead assistant in Elvin Gentry? So that works out for me. There you go, Doc Rivers in Philly. Love it. Nothing from Simo on the old tweet machine about welcoming him to the fold, whereas Joel Embiid was right on top of it. But at the same time, Joel Embiid's a new dad. He's got nothing else fucking going on. Simo's probably on an island in the Bahamas hanging out with some pigs like he was last time. Yeah. That's not how you should talk about Kylie Jenner, Jommy. Ah, settle down. Anyway, other news. Kyrie's back at it again, talking shit, undermining a brand new coach and talking shit about LeBron. Yeah, that's right. Color me surprised that Kyrie, as soon as he got a fucking microphone in front of him, made an arsehole out of himself. On the coaching situation, Kyrie on KD's podcast was like, I don't really see us having a head coach. KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach. And then KD chimes in, Jacques Vaughn could be a head coach. He could do it one day. It's a collaborative effort. Steve Nash hasn't even coached a fucking game and you're already throwing him under the bus, Kyrie. What the fuck? Oh, my Lord. And then also Kyrie, in this same interview, says that he's happy to finally be playing with a shot maker. Finally happy to be playing with a closer like KD. And you know that somewhere LeBron's just like, oh, yeah, cool, cool. Yeah, no, that's awesome. Thanks, thanks, Kyrie. I'll write that down. Good shit. All right, so there you go. And in other news, look, before we get into the Game 2 preview and stuff, a real quick update on the gore on the flog, Dragic and Bam Adebayo. Injuries in the NBA Finals. I mean, we're going to talk about this, obviously, in the Game 2 preview, which will come up after Yenaz. The Dragic and Adebayo are both doubtful. Look, at a guess, I've got to say that Adebayo is going to be good to go. I think Dragon might give this one like a little bit of a rest, see how he goes after game two, see if he can try to play on this foot. But I'd say that Adebayo sort of grits through it. I just can't imagine that Dragic playing through a plantar fascia tear will go in game two, you know. Even if it is the finals and he's a tough Slovenian bastard, just it's a bit tough. And I feel like you give it a day or two, see how it responds to like the initial treatment. Maybe you get through game three. Whereas Bam, it turns out it's a neck strain, his injury. That's what the MRI has actually came up with. So that's pretty interesting. And basically, Spoelstra is basically not ruling anybody out. He's also not saying that, like, they're going to play. So that's the latest in that one, which is pretty fascinating. So, right, let's go do some Yenaz, and then we'll basically crush through a bit of a, what, dickhead of the week, unpopular opinion of the day, and an Outback Takehouse. And then we'll do a massive, massive Game 2 preview with three big questions each. Right after, let's say, oh yeah, this one.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's go. do some Yenars. Love some finals Yenars, but I also love it when we get some coaching stuff thrown in there. So I've got a bunch of listener Yenars, but first off, the Yenars are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, you're under lockdown, don't waste any of your time outside. And it's a beautiful day here in Melbourne. We're going to have an amazing weekend too. But still, don't waste any of your outdoors time going to the Bottle-O like an idiot. What are you doing, mate? Go to thedailyliquor.com, smash the code STRAYA, spend $20, and they'll give you a free six-pack. Come on, and they'll deliver it to you. How good is this? You don't have to leave your house. You're locked down anyway. You can go spend 2 hours at the park and not at the Bottle-O. You can take your beers to the park. I love that. I forgot about that in Australia. Spent so many years in the US where they basically punch you in the fucking face if you have a beer outside. You can have a gun on you, but you can't fucking drink a beer in a park. Oh, America, man. Anyway, you can do it in Australia. I tell you what. The best bit is, on top of all the awesome beers and all the great slab specials that they have, I tell you what, they're amazing. They've also now got wines and cocktails for you, so you're not even if into the beeros, or if the missus is like, get me something, would ya? Boom! And she's not in the beers? You're sorted. Wine, cocktails, beers. It's thedailyliquor.com. Bob's your uncle. No screwing around. So use the code STRAYA, spend $20, and they'll give you a free six-pack. Free six-pack of the amazing Dos X, which I punish with a terrifying regularity because it is my favorite beer. It's so good. It's so easy to take. You've got the AFL finals. I was watching Port Geelong last night. Crushed a million. Like, it's just the classic. You put your hand next to you to go get the beer, and it's like, oh, fuck, that's empty. And then you stand up, you're like, I better go get another one. And before you notice, you finished six. So anyway, that would have been free if you used the code STRAYA and spent $20. So go do that, dailyliquor.com right now. Smash the code STRAYA. Buy a sixer. Think about the sixes and get a free sixer on me. Buy some wine. Buy some cocktails, whatever. Either way, thank us later. Thedailyliquor.com, code STRAYA. All right, yeah, Nas, let's do it. We'll take a bunch of NBA storylines aside with them all year. I'm on one. Here we go. LeBron. His quote, when he was asked about his relationship with AD, he said, it's good, because we're not jealous of each other. Jimmy, was that about Kyrie? Yeah, nah. Oh, shit, yes. Fucking oath it was, yeah. LeBron's like, oh, man. It's very clear that there's a relationship there between LeBron and AD that is very, very different from the relationship between LeBron and Kyrie. Because you do get the feeling that Kyrie, at the point of his career, was like, I'm better than LeBron. And LeBron's like, just fucking pull your head in, dickhead. And Kyrie's like, I'll pull my fucking head in when I've got my third eye open and we're like hanging out on this flat earth together in harmony, you fucking idiot. And it's like, oh, LeBron's like, I'm fucking sick of this guy. He's such a dick. Oh, but he can make shots. Whereas AD is like, hey, man, nah, we're cool. I'm really fucking good at basketball and so are you. So let's just kick some ass and take some names. So AD's very clearly got like the respect for LeBron, and LeBron very clearly respects AD's game, and away we go. Like, the best part, I feel like it's like LeBron's hanging out with AD. AD's like, hey, LeBron, we're cool. Kyrie's not cool with anyone because he is what we call in Australia a complete fucking cockhead. I mean, he just is. Like, we've all got one of those mates, right? Where you're like, just fucking hang out with him sometimes because you're like, look, fucking, why not? But you don't really go out of your way to hang out with that one, right? You're like, geez, this fucking guy. He's always saying something fucking stupid, trying to be edgy, but you're just like, look, I've seen you piss your pants. I've seen you get nervous talking to girls. Shut up. He's that guy. Anyway, in other stuff, Hassan Whiteside. Jimmy, do you believe that his tweet, I can't do this for four more years, fuck America, bro, I'm moving to Hawaii, that everyone laughed at was fake? Yeah, nah. No, get out of here. So Hassan Whiteside released a big statement saying, I need to get serious for a minute because my personal integrity and feelings towards my country are being called into question result of a completely false photoshopped picture of a tweet I never posted. What upsets me most is that it reflects exactly the opposite of how I feel about this country. I have never and would never say that what that tweet said. I am proud to be from America and there is no other place in the world I want to live. One of the greatest things about this country is that we all have an opportunity to make our voices heard through voting, a freedom that doesn't exist in every single country in the world. So please exercise your right and make a point to vote this November. Yeah, mate, if you've ever read literally any other Hassan Whiteside tweet, you know that his "fuck America, bro, I'm moving to Hawaii" was 100% Hassan Whiteside. And this statement was very, very fucking clearly put out by his agent and clearly written by his agent or manager, because Hassan Whiteside has never gotten through half a sentence without fucking misspelling something just in complete, like, moronic terms. Because I believe the way you think about Hassan Whiteside, look, he is the sharpest tool in the shed the way Magda Zimbanski would be great on Baywatch. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is no mistaking Hassan Whiteside for a Rhodes Scholar. We've seen his Instagram. We've seen his videos. Hassan, you're not fucking fooling anybody with this. Oh, the tweet was fake news, bro. You dummy. That's a great mea culpa, though. Like, good on him. It's a very, very, very well written statement, but I mean, that's also the dead giveaway that you didn't write it. Oh, Lord. Next up, will Sixers announcer Mark Zumoff have to change his Glenn Rivers shtick? Yeah, nah, fuck yeah. Poor Mark Zumoff. Since the beginning of Doc Rivers' actual coaching career, Zumoff is the Sixers announcer there in Philly, has always called him Glenn Rivers because there's only one Doc in Philly, which is true. Fucking love it. I absolutely love it. Dr. J is the only doctor in Philly. But damn, now he's he's kind of stuck with it, right? That's a home run over the top French. That's 4-0. But anyway, so tough scene for Mark Zumoff there. All right. Speaking of which, PDX Pete and I were throwing this one around today. Is Doc a better fit in Philly than Houston? Yeah, nah. Look, I mean, strategically, from a roster standpoint, probably, yeah. I mean, there's probably just more talent on top to bottom on the Philly roster, right? Where you've got Josh Richardson, Al Horford, Embiid, Simo, Harris, and versus, what, the Rusty, Harden, Eric Gordon, Covington, Rockets. At the same time, it's a Rockets team that have basically spent the decade fucking going up against Doc Rivers. And if I was that franchise, like, what, we're now going to just invite this guy to come coach us? My point was always Frittata would basically just go, we need to smooth something over with Daryl Morey with the Hong Kong tweets. We just need to get a name to be our coach. Get rid of the Mike D'Antoni stink. We'll bring in Doc. And it turns out Philly just beat him to the punch, I reckon, and boom, away we go. So what does that mean now? Is this good? Is he a better fit in Philly than Houston? I think so, yeah. I think he just gets to go and put his X and O's together with something that resembles a more traditional kind of team with just a giant-sized point guard who can't shoot. But Embiid, Harris, Richardson, Horford versus Doc trying to take over that Houston team and trying to mold Rusty Westbrook and James Harden, jeez. Tell you what, can't imagine that working out. So there you go. The other one that we flipped about as well was Mike D. Mike D'Antoni, is he a better fit now in Indy than he is in Philly? Yeah, no, I mean, he always was, right? Yeah, fuck yeah. Because, I mean, you turn around, Mike D'Antoni's got two modern bigs who can shoot, run the floor in the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, and Miles Turner, and then a shit ton of wings and a shit ton of ball handlers in El Presidente, TJ Warren, Victor Oladipo. Because he's going to make Victor Oladipo another all-star team underneath Mike D'Antoni, and TJ Warren, he'll fucking probably an all-star next year in the East as well. I mean, just think about it. But I mean, it would have been, look, to be honest, it would have been amazing to see what Mike D'Antoni could have done with Ben Simmons. I would have absolutely loved that, because we would have seen him fully unleashed when Embiid went down with his inevitable injury at some point next season. And then Simo would have gone absolutely bonkers. And then we could talk about Philly trading Embiid for the next 18 months before they eventually probably never got around to doing it. Now that's not going to happen. It's a bit sad, but I can also just imagine, just think about what the conversations would have been like with Mike D'Antoni and the Sixers. I mean, that would have been great to be a part of, like Elton Brandson going, so Doc, tell me, what do you see Joel's role being? Mike D'Antoni sits there regrowing his mustache. I don't know, Elton. I mean, I guess it's however the Knicks want to use him, I guess, right? Because we're trading him. And Elton's like, oh, fuck. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Anyway. But interestingly enough, Rashad Phillips tweeted out today, Doc Rivers is going to try and trade Ben Simmons to Minnesota for the number one pick and take LaMelo Ball in Philly. Good chess move, Doc. Hashtag talk soon. Yeah, nah, fuck nah. Look, there is no way. Look, yeah, sure, there's no supportive Simmons tweet. So maybe Simmons caught wind of this and he's like, don't fucking, I'm not going to welcome a coach who's part of the him coming here is like kicking me out the fucking door. I don't want to go to Minnesota. But I also feel like, nah, fuck no. There is no, that's the sort of dumbass shit that the horrible Sixers front office would maybe think about at some point. But nah, there's no way Doc pulls the pin on looking good and coming in to a Philadelphia 76er team that is built and ready to compete and ready to contend by trading Simmons for LaMelo Ball. That's fucking stupid. So let's not do that. Speaking of which, does this now mean Ty Lue stays with the Clippers? Yeah, nah. Look, this is a fascinating question because you feel like as soon as they basically shit-can Doc, that sort of move, if you're going to promote Ty Lue, usually comes with the extra statement of, well, the Clippers have also promoted the Ty Lue to the role of head coach in a 4 or 5 year deal or something. And it's not. Like, and you'd feel like they would have settled it now if they're negotiating over dollars or years, because obviously the big thing with Ty Lue in Cleveland, and then when he was like talking about other jobs, basically the previous offseason before he settled with the assistant role with Doc in Clipperland, was always dollars, was always years. He was about to take the Lakers job, don't forget. And they're like, we want to give you basically the same amount of time as LeBron is here because we just think you're a LeBron whisperer and nothing more. And he's like, how about you eat a bag of dicks? I'll catch us on the flip side. Now, he hasn't gotten the gig in Clipperland. Maybe he ends up in Houston. Who knows? But I mean, what are the Clippers doing? Are they thinking about a college coach? Are they looking at Coach Cal or something? Because don't forget, this entire fucking COVID craziness has just completely scuttled a year of college basketball where they're going to kick it back into gear, but it's still up in the fucking air. And if you're Ballmer and you got money to burn, $70 billion of it, fuck. Maybe you go after Cal. Maybe you go after some of the bigger name ones. Who knows? Maybe you go Tom Izzo. What do you reckon? Do you want to come kick some heads in? Or maybe they're waiting on J-Kid. Who knows? Waiting for the Lakers to finish their run and then go get Jason Kidd. I don't know. Anyway, nice one from Carson Mad Dogs. Jimmy, yeah, nah. Spo should send in Kelly Olynyk, the hoser, to fuck up AD and gain an edge. Yeah, nah. Look, this is the old Kevin Love separated shoulder Kelly Olynyk move that Kelly Olynyk does all the fucking time. And of course he should. This is exactly what Spo should do. This is Kelly Olynyk's fucking role in life. Go in, separate some shoulders, fuck up everybody, like fuck up the other team's best player, and have everybody hate you for ages. This is your destiny, Kelly Olynyk. Go do it. Get in there, son. I don't want anyone injured. I hate the fact that Goran and Bam are injured. That sucks, but still. That's a good one, Mad Dogs. Carson, thanks for chiming in. Olynyk should definitely be sent in to fuck up AD, and I would not be surprised if something weird happens in game two. Trust me. Brett Pierce. On you, Brett. He chimes in. Jimmy, yeah, nah, next season, a long overdue rule change. If you yell and one, and it's not a foul call, it's a tech, because that shit is fucking annoying. Yeah, nah, fuck yes. It's the Carlos Boozer rule. I love it. I hate the N1 screaming because, by God, Anthony Davis was, look, he was a monster in game one. Don't get me wrong. But shit, watching that game and him just fucking screaming at every moment of the fucking time he was on offense is just, it's a bit tough, man. Bit tough. Pothole69 on Twitter. Yeah, nah, Alex Caruso is just a poor man's deli. Yeah, nah, he wishes. Nah. Pothole69. Caruso wishes he was a poor man's deli. He is a homeless man's deli. I've not seen him dive into the fucking stands to save a loose ball. And until he does, take Deli's name out your mouth, Caruso. Nice. And this is a final one for me. A friend of the program, Jason Kadee, up there in Brisbane, the Brisbane Bullets, mentioned it a little bit about the crowds. And I think one of the biggest things I had as well was that the crowd not being there in game one, was this the thing I missed the most? Yeah, nah, fuck yes. It was so weird. I didn't really mention it yesterday because I was just trying to get through the game and stuff, right? But it just got me thinking about the crowds and everything we usually get in a game one of an NBA finals and where they're just going absolutely fucking bonkers. It's game one. It's got the tip. Everyone's at a fucking fever pitch. That entire first quarter is absolutely on edge. The Lakers crowd would have been shitting themselves down 23-10. And the fact that the Lakers came back, had the 30-point swing in the first half, is testament to how fucking good this team is to do that without the crowd there, I thought. It was amazing. But at the same time, it really, really just doesn't have quite the same vibe of a finals game as you'd expect because you don't have fans. And I feel like we could get through the playoffs and just sort of go, virtual fans, that's pretty funny. Just hanging out. They've got some family and shit there. And it's the finals where just the sheer noise and energy of a crowd is just missing. And it's a tough one. I'm fascinated to see what happens in game two, though, and see if we can get a little bit more. Maybe it was just the broadcast and it just didn't have quite the crowd noise. Because when you got a three-man booth like ABC do with Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, and gotta give him credit, Mark Jackson, they don't seem to plug in as much crowd noise reaction stuff. So maybe that's just more of a subtraction by subtraction, you know what I'm saying? Without it there, I'm noticing it more. I don't know. Maybe. All right, finally, let's get to a bit of a dickhead of the week, shall we?
Dickhead of the week!
I mean, it's Kyrie Irving, isn't it? Holy shit. What are you doing, Kyrie? Came out and was like, hey, man, fucking never play with a shot maker. KD's my first ever closer I've ever played with, man. We don't even have a head coach, man. Who needs a head coach, man? I got these cheeseburgers, man. Kyrie, then, after throwing LeBron under the bus and saying that KD's and your new coach you've never even played for yet under the bus, he then came out and had his stupid fucking one-minute video of him going, hey, man, why you always got to pit brother against brother? This social media age, man, this clickbait society, man, they're just trying to get in your head. It's just a game, man. We just want to be ourselves. And you're like, I've watched 15 seconds of Kyrie just talk absolute shit and I want to fucking top myself. Kyrie, you fucking said you're happy to finally be playing with a shot maker. You said that KD's the first closer you've ever played with. You said that Steve Nash might not be the head coach. KD could be the head coach without even fucking playing with KD yet, you fucking dolt. Meanwhile, your former non-shot maker teammate is about to win his fourth fucking ring and fourth finals MVP. You absolute fucking dead shit. I love it, but that leads me very nicely into the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. I love this Kyrie shit. So he's been out of my life with, moronic statements for too long. We just need a Kyrie mic like every 2 weeks just to fire me up. He's the complete fucking epitome of a dumb smart guy, right? Or a smart dumb guy. Smart dumb guy, there you go. A dumb guy who reads too much goes, oh, well, dude, it's like, you've got to open up your third eye. You nong. Listen to him talk for more than 25 seconds before he just like degenerates into buzzword third eye conspiracy word salad. Is hilarious, life draining, but also brings chaos into the world. And I love it. You absolute dickhead, Kyrie. I love it. And my God, am I going to... Look, the fact that my sweet baby Carrots LeVert is on this team hurts my heart because I'm going to love hating this Brooklyn team next year. He and KD, their job isn't to be likable. Their job is to be really good fucking basketball players. At the same time, boy, are those fucking idiots unlikable. And I love it. Oh, it's so fucking good. All right. Finally, Outback Takehouse. What do you reckon? Let's do it. It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yes. Ice cold 4-for-1 TGIF Foster's oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's lager. That's right. No prick in Australia drinks this horse piss, but we flog it off onto you idiot Yanks by saying it's like Australian for beer or some shit. I don't know. Fucking drink it up. Only at Outback. And it goes great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is... Kyrie Irving was talking all that shit to inspire his good friend, LeBron James. Only at Outback. It's much more likely that the LeBron James, we've got respect for each other. Quote about AD was much more of a shot at Kyrie. I love it. Anyway, good stuff, Kyrie. I love having you back saying dumb shit. It's the best. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and the big Game 2 preview right after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, just got to neck this tin. Fuck it up.
Yeah.
It's Friday beers, mate. Friday beers. That's right. It's time for the Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, the Patty Mills Memorial. We have a tweet from, I believe it's Matty Dellavedova today. He's out there running his daily podcast, which is great. Come on, NBA Australia again, Matty Dellavedova. But there was a great one. He's had a haircut. He's out of Bokken style, as old mate Deli. But he did tweet out, who can say they're living out their childhood dreams? Locked On Sports can, David Locke. Thanks to his role as the radio voice of the Utah Jazz. Tune in for his fun take on how he knew from an early age that he wanted to be a play-by-play announcer. And nice one. Then I love the fact that Deli has to basically do the exact same tweets I do. Tune in, subscribe, rate, and listen on Apple Podcasts with his tweets. That's great. But there's also a really fucking inspiring one that comes after that. It was Basketball Australia tweeting out, congrats to Sky from Rockingham Aussie Hoops in WA, who won the Home Court Deli Challenge and a one-on-one Zoom call with Australian Boomer at Matthew Deli. Watch the moment Deli surprised Sky with a signed sporting basketball. Thank you to all who completed the challenge. And it is a great chat. Deli with his new haircut and his Boomer gear, having a chat with little Sky from Rockingham. So that's awesome. On your Deli, you absolute legend. So good, so good. All right, let's do our game preview for Game 2 of the NBA Finals.
Game previews. Game previews.
Oh, thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. You excited for the weekend?
Ah, you better bet yourself. Beautiful weather. Tin sinking weather. Can have a barbie, sink some tins. Fucking love it. Got Game 2 tomorrow. All right, so our best bets for the finals are still rolling. AD, top point scorer. His series average, the points over for the AD series. LeBron assists over, AD rebounds under is still looking pretty good. Duncan Robinson made threes, a bit sketchy, 17.5. Oh, jeez. Tyler Hero over made threes is 13.5. Also, don't know. KCP with his series made threes over 10.5, still feeling good about that. Don't like the BAM points total. Points, rebounds, assist total, that's not good. But also my big Heat to win the finals 4-2 and Butts to win the finals MVP. Oh, jeez. But anyway, Game 2 preview. Look, we've still got Goran apparently fighting to play tomorrow. The neck injury for Bam also is a bit of a problem. You don't fuck around with necks. You don't fuck around with backs. It's harder to play through that shit as well. It's going to be interesting. I hate the Dragon injury. I hate the Bam injury. It's not only two of their best three players, but 2020 has been such a fucking shit show anyway that this is just the fucking straw that breaks the camel's back, isn't it? We finally get through the entire bubble. The Heat look fucking amazing all the way through the playoffs. Game one, Goran fucking rips a plantar fascia in his foot. Bam fucks up his shoulder. Butts does an ankle. And we could be robbed of a really competitive NBA Finals. God damn it! So the Heat lose the straw that stirs the drink, the connective tissue on that Bam pick and roll Goran. The secondary scorer, Elise Valve, when they need it. You know, he led the fucking team in scoring. I mean, jeez. And Bam, you can't replace him. Offensively, defensively, he's the fulcrum which, you know, with which they run everything through. I mean, it's a tough one for the Heat now, isn't it? Hero looked lost in the first half of game one, finally came alive a little bit, got some legs under him in the garbage time. But they didn't have the swag, the Miami swag. Robinson came out flat, missed all three of his shots. Hero looked lost, had a couple of really bad turnovers. And the first turnover, as I mentioned yesterday, really swung the momentum of that game dramatically. It was the first easy bucket the Lakers could get, and away they went. I don't know, the perimeter switching on D is going to be fascinating to see. But anyway, three questions each. So let's go for the Lakers. Can they keep shooting threes the way they just did? This is the essential same question we're going to keep asking over and over and over. Will KCP and Danny Green and Kuz hit the requisite threes between them. Between the three of them, they need to hit between 4 and 6 for the Lakers to basically win. And will that keep on happening? It happened to a perfect degree in game one. And this is like why I've still got hope for the Heat. Everything went wrong for them. And everything went right for the Lakers. The Lakers combated the zone really, really well. Their three-point shooters got hot early. They went 11 of 17, then 4 of 20 went after that. They missed 16 straight at one point. But at the same time, the game was out of hand at that point. So, can their role players hit their threes? Number two, will they still stay small for longer periods after it worked so well in game one? Or does Vogel throw them a bit of a curveball and try to bash them again with a big lineup now that they've got no chance of guarding their big dudes without Bam Adebayo? I do think this is like an interesting question when it comes to style and strategy for Vogel, right? Because you can go out and go, look, Dwight Howard, AD, LeBron, KCP, Danny Green, we've got a huge fucking lineup. And all the Heat can do is throw like Myers Leonard at us or Kelly Olynyk. Jesus. So that really, really nicely feeds into number three. Can AD continue to be an absolute wrecking ball? They've got no one to cover him if Bam is even like 80%. If 80% Bam is out there, he's going to get cooked by AD. The driving, his size, his rebounding, just the sheer delight that he took in fucking humiliating and pantsing the Heat in game one while playing havoc with them was really, really impressive. And it turns into this question of like, holy shit, if AD keeps playing like this, LeBron's narrative-driven finals MVP run where he complained about his only 16 votes for the actual MVP might get derailed by his own teammate kicking ass. So, tough one. But AD, he basically could easily average 35 for the rest of the series, couldn't he? If Bam's slowed down, if they've got Olynyk and Leonard on him, Jesus. So for the Heat, the big question is going to be, you can't go super small. What are you going to do? Is there a little life left in the Kelly Olynyk-Myers-Leonard combo? These dudes have started in the NBA. They've done shit. They're not washed fucking Anderson Varejao stuff, you know? They're not Boston Jermaine O'Neal. The problem is, it's like asking them to guard AD is like asking me to guard like Daryl McDonald now. I mean, D-Mac can still toast me. That's the shit. I mean, it's going to be a tough scene for Kelly Olynyk and Myers Leonard. And you do wonder about the Heat going, all right, fucking sweet, bro. Our backup bigs behind Bam are basically going to be two fucking goofy-looking white dudes. Oh, jeez. The second question for the Heat, can Kendrick Lamar Nunn give them the tragic scoring punch they're definitely going to need? I mean, he's not the same playmaking threat of Goran, obviously, off the pick and roll especially. You know, the connective tissue of like, fuck it, end of the shot clock, just give it to Goran, he'll make something happen. But can Kendrick Lamar Nunn, who started an absolute fucking shit ton all season, can he actually go back out there and give him something? You know, it's going to be a huge question. He's a rookie. Can he do it? He started every game he played in the regular season. And he was great for moments there. Remember, we're like, oh shit, he's like dropping fucking 20s on everyone's head, then hit the rookie wall pretty fucking significantly. But he's still a good fucking player. He's not rookie of the year material like he seems to think he is, but he is pretty good. So look, now they're going to reinsert him. Do they start him? Maybe. I think they're going to got to. They've got to give Tyler Hero more responsibility off the bench. Similar to the way they played during the regular season where they'd start Nunn, have Goran off the bench, and Tyler Hero is basically going to have to step into that role of Goran. And his ball handling is just, oh, not quite up to it yet, so that's going to be fascinating. But the big question is going to be, can Jimmy Butler go, A, and B, can he step up and deliver just like a fucking masterful 40-point gem where he's making plays for everybody, getting to the line, putting the Lakers in foul trouble? Because this is the big thing. Can the Heat match the Lakers for foul shoots? For foul shooting. Jesus, foul shoots. Foul shots. Use your words, Jimmy. It's been a long day, mate. Because Jimmy Butler is the best at doing that. Attacking the hole, getting fouled, putting pressure on the defense, opening up lanes and shots for the fucking shooters on the perimeter. But it's all on his shoulders now. If you can charge $20 for a coffee, can you actually lead your team to a win in the finals, Jimmy? Let's see it. Let's fucking see it. So there's three questions for you. Now, five best bets. I'm going to go with my tried and true one. KCP over 1.5 threes. The Anthony Davis points over, which is 28.5. the total points over, which I believe was actually, I'll just check that. I believe it was only like 213 or something, which is not many, if any. Settle down there, Scribe. What do we got? Total points, 216.5. So that's actually less than it was in game one. A LeBron triple-double, yes. I like that one a lot. And Heat plus 9.5. Because that is my tip for tomorrow. Heat plus 9.5. They might not win, but I believe they may cover. And I like it a lot. 9.5. Look, even with all the question marks around Goran, around Bam, I just feel like the Heat, they've got so much to prove. And I just kind of like the idea of them staying close, not getting humiliated. Even if they do lose, I expect them to show up, kick some ass, take some names, play hard, play Heat basketball. They're not going to miss as many shots as they did in game one. And the LeBron 30-point triple-double is at $5 to $1. Oh, not bad. $12.25 for 25 plus points, 10 plus rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 blocks. Oh, not bad. $12.25. I like both of those. So there you go. 5 best bets. KCP over 1.5 threes. That's an over-under. Same with the AD points over. He's at 28.5 points over. As mentioned, 216.5 in the LeBron triple-double at $5 if you want a 30-plus triple-double and the 25-plus points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 blocks at $12.25. That is tasty. Because if you reckon LeBron goes, right, fellas, we're going to settle down. We're going to win this. No problems. I'm going to take over, kick some ass. AD's going to do his job. I think their shooters struggle, but I think their best two players get them the win, but I think the Heat cover. So there you go. Remember, go to playup.com.au/NBA for all those bets. Get around their NBA specials. They can power up their shit really easy. They're awesome. And look, we might even pop in for a Game 2 special episode on a Saturday tomorrow. What do you reckon about that? Give you something to listen to on Monday, before Monday's game, Sunday maybe. What do you reckon? Yeah, we'll give it a shot. We'll see how we go. I just don't want to skip a game two and then, you know, wrap up a game two and game three on Monday, you know what I'm saying? So, there you go. All right, in the meantime, follow NBA Stray on Twitter, face the IG, we're all over the socials all the time. Get around NBAStray.com/shop. Go buy a hoodie, go buy a t-shirt, buy a stubby holder. Love that shit. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you want to use on your Android phone. It really does help out heaps. Subscribe to NFL Australia if you want to hear me and my buddy Gaz get drunk and talk shit. Love that. TheDailyLiquor.com. Use the code STRAYA. Buy some beers, $20. Use the code STRAYA, get a free six-pack. Legendary. Huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now and it's a pearler. But also huge thanks to Joshua Delarantis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash from Bandcamp. Triple J and Earth and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Goldmines just delivered my vinyl, my t-shirt, in a pizza box with a tin of Melbourne Bitter. You fucking legends. Go buy their shit. They're awesome. It's an awesome album too. Signals. God damn, it's good. All right. So I think we're going to catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Going to do a Saturday show. What do you reckon about that? Either way, we're going to close out with the new Diary of Stephen Adams. And this is NBA Australia saying, have a good weekend, dickheads. And look after yourselves. Lederhosen. Oh, kia ora, Bruce. How's it going, eh? It's your old pal Stephen Adams here, Brew. And it's time for a new diary entry, Brew. So here goes. Oh, dear diary, it's me, Brew. Stephen Adams. Oh, but you knew that, eh? Because you're my diary, Brew. And you know all my deep, dark secrets, Brew. Like how I'm writing this in my own blood, Brew. And the blood of this seagull, Brew. Because I've had to kill pretty much every other living thing on this island, Brew. Because I'm still cast away, Brew. Can you believe it, Brew? That's right. Remember last week how I crished my boot on this island, eh? Just sailing in the Caribbean, minding my own business, and that storm crished me into this island, Brew. And I've gone full Tom Hanks. I mean, I already had the hair and the beard, Brew. Now I'm working on the really skinny Tom Hanks look, Brew. But either way, Brew, a week later, it's still choices. I'm having lots of fun, Brew. Heaps of fun, Brew. I've been spurfishing fish like I used to do back home in NZ, Brew. I'm still eating the chips that were frozen up in my boot, Brew. The plastic bag that I used as a suitcase came up on shore with me, Brew, which was sweet as. And I've still got you, Brew, my diary, eh? And to be fair, Brew, this isn't too bad. I've built my shelter, Brew, which his choice is. It's out of bits of my boot and some palm leaves, Brew. And I built a fire, Brew, out of some coconuts and some palm trees and some of my hair and some bits of my boot and the last of my Pavlova cookbooks, Brew, that washed up with me. And I'll be forever grateful, Brew, that my cousin Rongo showed me how to light that fire out of literally anything, Brew. I mean, yeah, as I said last week, he's been to jail 3 or 4 times for arson, Brew, but still, they never proved it. But yeah, Brew, a week in, eh? I reckon I could just hang out here for a bit more, eh? Maybe a few more weeks at least, Brew. I mean, a couple of planes have gone past, Brew, and I'm just like, oh, nah, Brew, I'm pretty chill. This is sweet as, eh? So I don't really need to be rescued just yet, eh? It's not too bad, just a little bit of an unplanned break in my holiday anyway, Brew. I just would have been on my boot anyway, eh? So the fish here are delicious. The clams that I've caught are great, Brew. I had a scallop the other day, Brew. Aw. I mean, I pooped out a fucking pinhole the entire time, Brew, but it's sweet as eh. So don't stress about me, Brew. I'll be right, eh? Now, I've got to go spare my dinner, eh? And I hope that I can keep eating fish and don't starve. So, till next week, Brew. Kia ora, Brews. Cheer, cheer. Love. Castaway Stephen Evans, Brew.